Mr. Nicholas. Thank you for coming in. Before you start work, it behooves me to inform you about the previous employee I'm working this job. You see, I know it appears that what we have here is a quiet little town, but in fact it has become the scene of horrific, grisly murders. Has anyone told you about what happens if you listen to the Giant Size Team-Up Network? Charles McFall listened to the shows on that network. From what I've been told, he seemed like a completely normal individual, but sometime after he listened to those shows, he ran amok and, well, killed his family with an axe. Reports say that when he listened to Breaking the Panel, he began exhibiting unusual behavior. He acted like he knew everything, but actually knew absolutely nothing, especially about comic books. The next day, he listened to Pokemon Go podcast. They say he saw little creatures running around, and he giggled like a schoolgirl while he tried to catch them. He then listened to Blazing Defender report that following day, began exhibiting extreme muscle mass, and absolutely obsessed with comic books, but this time he actually knew what he was talking about, as opposed to when he listened to Breaking the Panel. Toy Power. What a trip. He began talking like some kind of Aussie. He stole all of his children's toys and just kept spouting on and on about how valuable they'll be someday. Friday, he listened to DC on screen. He just kept arguing and arguing about how good DC movies were. Thing was, he was talking to himself in a mirror the whole time. Finally, he just got depressed and real quiet. Last day, he listened to Botch Podcast. He started talking in funny voices and drinking. In the end, he chopped up his family in little bits with an axe. When authorities found him, he just kept saying, "Elvish medicine. Elvish medicine. Are you sure you want to listen to this network?"
"You can rest assured, Mr. Robinson. That's not going to happen to me."
"Well, can't say that I didn't warn you. Head on over to GiantSizeTeamUpNetwork.com and listen for yourself. God have mercy on your soul."
There's room for all turtles in the Giant Size Team Up universe. I'm just saying.
Yeah. You mean Michael Bay's T-U-R-D-L-E-S?
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Welcome to Breaking the Panel. This week's episode is going to talk about a whole lot of awesome stuff because I've been drinking too much scotch to get my intro all screwy. So let's just jump to the introductions. I'm the Rock God of Podcasting, Charles McFall. Over here, the world famous Casey Straws.
It's me.
See, Klotz, that's how you do it. Let's try this. Over to the next right is Paul Klotz.
I'm pretty sure you mispronounced his last name again.
Dang it. Why'd you call me out, man? Just roll with it.
And so we're going to have a great show today, guys, right? We're going to have some good stuff on the panel.
Yes, because Chris Wisdom is also here, too, to my left.
Chris
Wisdom's dead to me.
To paraphrase Phil Keating, it's-a-me.
No, I intentionally left the Wiz off because, you know.
The Wiz. Why have we not been calling him that this entire time?
Because I'm not a fan of shortening people's names. Yet it gets
also because he's not an electronic salesman.
Let's do what we do. All right. So, Chris, I'll start with you, man. Since I slighted you, ever so intentionally, what fun thing have you watched or played or done this week?
Okay. So last week I told you about Overload, just content overload. I seriously needed to decompress and take a break because I was about to strangle myself this week. And I noticed that Hulu has got the Dana Carvey show up. And I was like, oh, I love that. Skinheads in Maine, one of my all-time favorite. That episode just made this mark on my brain when I saw it in 90-whatever. And that sketch was so good. And so as I was flipping through Hulu to find it, I realized they also had a documentary on the Dana Carvey show and how this show that was full of so much talent could have bombed so bad. Because it was created by Dana and Robert Smigel. That's where Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert got their breakout. When you see the people that were involved with this show, it's so stacked. Louis C.K. was one of the writers on the show. And you're like, how did this show fail? But this documentary is really good. There's a lot of funny moments. I think it's less documentary, more compilation of interviews than anything.
Well, Louis has actually spoken out about it in public before.
It was really good. So I watched that, and it was a much needed break from just the gluttony of our world.
Good. Casey Strozzi, What do you have?
It's just look. It's just Stroh's like Rose. It's not. Listen. It's not a... We don't have to make a whole Gallivant...
Oh, we are making a big deal of it.
Arbitrary.
You let us go, like, 2 years without correcting us?
We did.
Okay, so...
I mean...
Behind baseball. Last week is the first time I found out I've been mispronouncing his name for 2 freaking years.
I mean, look, you got it. You get it right, like, every other time.
Well, that's...
And so does... I mean, Travis got it wrong today when he...
That's
when he
pretty
was
much every time Charles opens his mouth.
Yes. Yeah. That's
that he gets it wrong.
I mean, look, you know, Klotz, we're in the same boat. Substitute teachers have been getting it wrong for like our entire lives.
Oh yeah,
it's just the way it is. It's the curse of the Z.
Yep.
But what have I been doing this week?
You know what? You guys do not have that market cornered. Do you know how many times I have to spell out and explain the word wisdom to people on the phone? People without accents. That was Wilson? No, wisdom, like the virtue? Huh? Wisdom. W-I-S-D-O-M.
Wisdom.
I feel like the virtue is really going to throw him off into a ringer.
We all know you have no virtue.
I think it'd be more appropriate to be like, wisdom, the dump stat for you, apparently.
Yes.
Sorry, Casey. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was about to go into that colorful metaphor where it's like, what's the difference between intelligence and wisdom? It's knowing Frankenstein is not the monster is intelligence, but knowing Frankenstein is the monster is wisdom. What have I done this week? I've continued reading more Silver Surfer comics. I'm doing all kinds of wacky stuff with him, because Dan Slott and Michael Allred just finished their 3-year run.
I got a question about Silver Surfer.
Shoot.
What is he made out of, Casey?
cosmic stuff.
No, I read your Facebook post. What is he made out of, Casey?
Yeah, he's made out of a galactic glaze. Not a Galactus glaze. Which was the worst thing that can happen to you at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
I definitely screenshotted that comment, by the way.
It's still up there. I don't plan on deleting it. Yep. I'm proud of my mistake. I mean, when he silvers down, like when he tries to look like a normal guy, he it comes off like an ooze anyway, so I don't know. It's really
So silver. We're saying silver's pretty close to white, right? I mean, it's metallic white. Casey doesn't really have a problem with a white symbiote, but you start talking about those black and other colored symbiotes, then therein lies the problem.
With the black symbiotes, okay? It's the red and the black one that's the real problem.
Oh, so no mixed symbiotes. Gotcha. Okay.
Listen, black symbiotes matter.
I can hear Paul slapping his head. Agony right now.
Oh no, I'm just taking a knee currently.
Look, you heard it here first. Venomverse is the worst frickin' idea I've ever seen in 2017 in comics. And I will say that considering Secret Empire has happened this year.
I was gonna say that is a bold claim with Secret Empire being out there. That is a bold claim.
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage going on right now in the world of comic books. But it was that. What else did I do? Oh, I watched what my answer should have been for the what's my favorite non-Wheelhouse movie question of last week, which is Whip It, the roller derby movie. I watched that movie again because it was really late at night and I couldn't sleep, and I remembered how much I loved it and roller derby and the soundtrack.
Is her name Ellen Page?
That's Ellen Page.
Holy crap, how do I know that? I don't know.
Because she's great.
She is great. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd like her to do more work.
Yeah. She was Kitty Pryde so briefly, and she could have been so much more. I would love to see her as Kitty in, like, an Excalibur movie if they ever dared to do it.
I've pretty much always liked her in everything she was in.
I mean, Super is probably the best thing that she's been in for me, because it's like her at her most insane, trying to be a superhero sidekick.
What do you think of her? I'm making this up. It's not a rumor or anything. What do you think of her as a young Princess Leia in a spinoff solo film?
Oh, wow. Hmm. You know, I never even thought. Is that like, is there buzz around that? Is that like
well, we're
like an internet casting kind of deal?
We can make that happen.
Oh yeah, I'm all about it.
That's what we need to start doing. That used to be one of my favorite things Wizard Magazine would do.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Wizard Magazine carry carried the torch for Patrick Stewart for years, right? As Professor X.
And Glenn Danzig is Wolverine.
What?
Yep.
Come on, really? Yep.
That was their pick.
Oh, that's funny.
Don't let your X-Men grow. Anyway.
Mother!
Paul, what have you done, watched, seen this week?
Well, I guess I'll tell you folks in case you hear it in time. Steam has a Halloween sale right now. And so just today I picked up XCOM 2.
The new one? Like the XCOM 2 or the original XCOM 2?
No, the new XCOM 2.
Oh, cool. How much was that?
The digital deluxe version was $30, which it's normally $75. It was 60% off. And it comes with some extra... It doesn't come with the new DLC that just hit, but it came with some extra stuff, and it came with the soundtrack and stuff. Honestly, I've been waiting for that game to go on sale for a while, because I love the XCOM series. I played the originals back in the day on PC. I played the last one, though I didn't beat it, because it got kind of hard. My campaign got screwed up. But anyways, I love that series, and I've heard nothing but really amazing things about the newest one. And I've been waiting to play it, so I'm excited about that. But I got to play one mission tonight right before the show because it took 2 hours to download 30 gigs of a game. Yeah.
Oh, wow, there are a couple other really great games that are on sale.
Yeah, there's some really solid games that are on sale in the Halloween sale. Witcher 3 is on sale with both of its DLC. Real cheap if you want to get all of that. Witcher 3 is a fantastic game. Like
Salt and Sanctuary, which is like 2D Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Dead by Daylight, which is like the coolest horror game ever made.
That's the one that Freddy just released in, right? I haven't played.
I think so.
I know Michael Myers is in it.
Yeah, I think just either he just released or he's on an upcoming release. But I'm pretty sure there's a Nightmare on Elm Street coming.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah, there it is. October 26th. Bam.
Yeah. I mean, Bayonetta, Helldivers. I've played Helldivers. That's a good game. Ark is on sale, but I don't like its new price. I have played over 40 hours of Ark in 1 month. No, wait, no. I played over... I forget how many. I worked it out to I was playing like 40 to 50 hours a week.
You were really into it for a while, for sure.
In last August, I did nothing but play Ark, which is not a proud moment in my life. That game was incredible, but you have to have a tremendous amount of time, and they raised the base price from being $30 to being $60 once they released it, and I think that's kind of BS because they sold it for, you know, 3 years for $30, so it being on sale at its original base price is kind of meh. 7 Days to Die is on sale. You know, so there's some really good stuff depending on what you're into.
And a ton of movies, too, which is weird. I forgot Steam had movies.
Yeah, I would not buy movies through Steam, but...
Didn't we talk about Cube on the show already? Oh, man, they have Cube and Cube 2 Hypercube.
They came out. I did.
Oh, GTA 5's on sale. Get that just in time for them to stop putting out stuff for it.
Ooh. Speaking Doom. Of throwing shade, 10 minutes in.
Doom, the new Doom game's on sale. That game has got really great reviews. People speak very highly of it. Undertale is only $5. I've heard that's a good game. Rise of the Tomb Raider is on sale. Yeah, so there's all kinds of cool stuff in the Halloween sale, which is kind of unexpected because I don't think they usually do a sale that's quite this groovy. So...
No, it's just the summer and like Christmas time.
Usually. And so, yeah, this was a pretty good deal. I mean, I've also been playing, like, all the games that I play have Halloween stuff going on. You know, Overwatch has Halloween event and Halloween crates, Rocket League, my mobile games. Though I'm really frustrated with the Final Fantasy Brave Exvius one because they've got these two bosses in the event that are really stupid hard and everybody's really salty about it, and I'm done with them. I'm not done with them, but like I'm upset. We're fighting. as far as TV goes, I mean, Stranger Things tomorrow, right? I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah, boy. What do you mean tomorrow? Let's try 5 hours. Yeah. I'm waiting. East Coast. I don't care. Right.
And then I've been catching up on some fall TV. I wanted to mention, you know, one of the things we talked about on the Stranger Things show that we've done, Upside Down and Out, which hasn't come out yet, but it will come out soon.
Or Buyers and Sellers. We're not attached to that name. Disregard the previous comment.
We talked about, you know, the funny thing with child actors and when you come back from a season break and how much they've aged and sometimes they hit their growth spurts and everything. I was watching Fresh Off the Boat, their fourth season, and the main kid and his the middle brother of the three boys in the family, they both hit major growth spurts in between seasons, and the main character's voices change, and it's really funny. And it's just like, it was initially awkward for like 5-10 minutes. I was like, this is weird. But that's, I always get a kick out of that stuff. That show's always good, though. I love the 90s nostalgia.
I don't know why more shows just don't do like a real-time time jump. Like Stranger Things 2 takes place a year after, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ish. But it's been, what, 2 years since the season?
It's never been 2 years since they shot the first season.
Yeah. Okay, well, good enough.
It seems like it was October last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Chris. I think it came out, but they shot...
No, right, yeah, you're right. I'm just saying I was thinking that it released last year. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, John. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you'd think you would do a show where if they do a third season, maybe they jump 5 years
ahead. It came out last July.
Wow, really? Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I was thinking it was closer to October.
Something like that. Yeah.
No, I get you, Casey. I get what you're saying. I know that Goldberg's does that. They just do real time. So when the youngest kid hit that growth spurt and the voice changed, it was just natural, right in the progression of the family. Wow, it went.
Yeah. You know, Goldberg's is a guilty pleasure, too. I also love the 80s nostalgia. Right. Like,
yeah. Oh, I could tell you guys stories of me growing up in the 1980s.
Shut up, kid.
That was a thing that definitely happened.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of sales.
He's the baby. Gotta love him.
That's me, conceived in September of 1989. good stuff. Well,
Paul, since you were talking about the Steam sale, I decided to look at the Xbox store since I play on console, and they're having similar sales going on. I don't know all of them. I looked up specifically XCOM 2 Digital Deluxe Edition. It is also $30 if you play on console. So there you go. And the regular XCOM is $24. But if you're going to spend $24, spend $6 extra and get the Digital Deluxe Edition. I mean, come on.
Yeah, man. Support the dev as much as you're willing to, because you're not willing to pay full price. But, no, I mean, I'm a discount hunter. Like, I'm a degenerate wait for the sale kind of guy. There's a whole subreddit called r/patientgamers with people who are waiting for games to get deeply discounted. I would, you know, we could have a whole conversation about the state of the game industry right now and how bad it is with microtransactions and all this other nonsense that's going on. Some of these games...
You don't have to tell me. I'm deathly afraid of trying the new Animal Crossing game because it has microtransactions.
That's fair.
I'm not prepared for that reality right now.
The new one that's out now or the new mobile one that's coming out?
The mobile one that's coming out. Oh, man, if they put regular microtransaction in a Nintendo game, I'd lose my mind. I don't think I could deal with that. That's like a betrayal of everything I've ever known.
It seems like that's how the whole sellable issue is going, is microtransaction.
There's a lot of rumors flying around... There's developers who have spoken out about it. Your big publishers like EA, they see all the money is in microtransactions and in online multiplayer games with microtransactions, and that's what
now
really
it does screw
on.
You up. And I'll talk about what I've played and done this week. But first off, what was I watching? I've been watching
TV Guide.
I've been watching Pretty Dreadful the season 3. It's decent. There's definitely some hot trash episodes in there. It's wavering, but it's decent. Yeah, and
it did get canceled.
Honestly, kind of rightfully so with the way they're writing it. Just
That's a damn shame because that first season was pretty solid.
It was their hot.
I mean, who didn't want to see Rose from Doctor Who? As
I saw that in a much better show on Showtime.
What's his name?
Called Diary of a... What diary? Yeah. Call Girl. That's it. Call Girl. Yep.
I was just... Diary of a Call Girl.
No, I know. I yeah. was just going to... But you know, you want to keep her period, you know? Like, you... It's so much more exciting when there's vampires and shit running yeah. around.
Right? But I've been playing Future Fight, man. Marvel Future Fight. I'm loving it. It is so good.
Get out. Blech. Just get out. Mark, Muck, there you it's go. Scratch. You happy you got oh, one of us?
No, I talked to Mug like
keep
every
him.
Week,
He's
man.
All
it's
yours.
Awesome. And it scratches that Avengers Alliance itch that no other game does. They've really improved it, in my opinion. I enjoy playing it. But talking about microtransactions, they just launched a Thor Ragnarok event. I'm excited. I did the pre-event, and I got all these coins, and I got a bunch of Thor bios and all that jazz. But they did this new thing called Cinematic Battles, which is a whole different camera angle. It looks awesome, and you're kind of playing some of the scenes from the movie, and it's really cool. Except the second battle, they unlock like you would. You know, you play the first one, beat it, then the next one unlocks, you play it, beat it. The second battle... You literally have to buy the character. There's no other way to get her. It's Valkyrie. It's Valkyrie from the movie Valkyrie.
You can buy Tom Cruise from the movie Valkyrie?
But it's I'm like, seriously? I have to spend... And it's $10. You only have to get the first day. You get 20... I think you get 20 bioselectors every day for $10 for a month. So as long as I get my first 20 and use it on her, I can then use the other selectors and whatever. But I have to spend $10, period... to get her to unlock the rest of these missions.
And that, my friend, is why yeah, I made
that was,
the
that's crappy.
Sound.
I'll give you that's crappy.
Because they did the same thing with X-Men, where the only way to get Magneto
oh,
was to buy an expensive pack. They did the same thing with Doctor Strange. Like, that's my big beef with Future Fight, is all these awesome characters and things you want to do are locked behind months of grind if
that
you're not willing
true.
To
I've been trying to get Wolverine and Doctor Strange since I started back, like, 2 months ago.
Oh, and, so, about, yeah, and see, and that's where I... That's why I made the noise, because there's so much going on in that game now that I started the game up, and you guys had talked about how, yeah, if you get on, you haven't been on in a while, you're basically going to get, like, two or three characters for free. I got, who did I get? I got Sharon Rogers, the daughter. And and I six-starred her or whatever. And then I think I ended up six-starring Ghost Rider because I had this extra six-star thing. Like, because all I wanted was Wolverine. I was like, I'm going to get Wolverine. I'm going to six-star him. I couldn't figure out how to get Wolverine. And then after I six-starred Ghost Rider, the next thing I did was started the X-Men campaign. And they're like, here's Wolverine.
Yep.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
You went too fast, Chris.
Like Icarus, he flew close, too close to the sun.
Yeah, well, that's on you, man. I want to say that was on you. The other,
too fast. I've been messed with the thing for 45 minutes.
Wait a minute. This game has separate characters for Hulk and Amadeus Cho Hulk.
No, because you buy skins and the skins change how the character plays.
But he's a separate character, though.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
That's not the whole story there, Charles. You buy a skin, and it changes how that character plays, and then, like, 6 months later, they release a new skin, and it's that skin complete garbage.
So it is just like Avengers
Alliance. It is. It's really so much like it. Like, if you really wanted to just, like, you know, feel your little cash grab hairs on the back of your neck just get raised, then this is the game for you. Yeah, no, it's...
like it.
I couldn't... No, that's fine, man. Yeah. I mean... It's all well and good. But, no, they also have... there's Ghost Rider and Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that. Oh, Miles Morales and Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Venom and Carnage.
And, like, yeah.
Oh, no. Come on.
I'm still sad we never got Carnage in MAAA because they said we would never get it because Disney didn't want us to. I was like, damn it.
Uh-uh.
No, wait, he wasn't a lockbox?
No, they said they wouldn't ever let us use him because all the other villains they could justify as being like they're pragmatic and they have a reason to work with S.H.I.E.L.D. to accomplish a goal or to like get rid of the incursions and everything, which is the main storyline for that game. But they're like, Carnage is literally just a mass murderer who cares about nothing but killing people. And they're like, there's no way we could justify him in the story. He's too dark. He's too much of a madman monster. And I was like, you know what? At least he is. Because, I mean, there's some game developers who are like, yeah, let's just give them the cool-looking character. Here you go.
Yeah. There should have been just a fire sale in that last month or 60 days that game was open, and they should have, if you had a sprite for it, you should have made it playable.
They did that with Avengers Alliance 2. The last month, they made everything in the cash shop, like, cost nothing.
I didn't see the point of it.
Literally, like two coins.
But I'm glad they didn't make it cost nothing, but...
Well, some people, like, went and just tried out the stuff that they had always wanted to try and stuff, and I see the value in that. I don't know. It's just... You would think that they would, like, re-release it as, like, a standalone game or something, but I don't know. Disney didn't see the value in that, which, is on them. So,
that is what we have done this week. We'd love to hear what you've done.
And that's the show. See you next week, folks.
So, hey, I found some headlines today. I actually did a little bit of work on the show for once. I hope it goes well. I don't know. But comicbook.com is reporting that Marvel Studios is not planning another big team-up after the Avengers movies, and they're talking about, of course, Infinity War. And it sounds like, because at first I took this as not another Avengers movie ever. Like, it's all going to be solo films. But I think reading this article, and I hope you guys got to skim through it at least, reading this article, it tells me that they mean the huge... Infinity War is a massive crossover event. I would not call it a team-up movie. I call it a crossover event, much akin to, the Infinity War in the comic books, whereas the Avengers movies are a team-up movie. Do you guys agree, disagree? What do you think is going to go on here?
I think that they have no plans until this thing makes Avatar look like The Room in terms of money-making ability.
I didn't do it! I did not!
No, I mean, this movie has to... It's probably going to make more money like than any movie ever made ever.
Yeah, but it's a lot. I give them... It's a ton of work. The logistics of everything and the storyline, the continuity, all that.
But it can't... It cannot fail. Even if Justice League completely tanks, there's no way that people will ever lose faith in the Marvel movies such as they are.
You do realize you just did peanut butter and chocolate together, right?
You said Justice League.
Yeah.
No, I know. But, I mean, Justice League is also the first big, like, I guess one that people are really, really looking forward to, maybe? Or, all right, maybe not looking forward to, but is expected to make a boatload of money?
BVS was expected to make a boatload of money.
Chris!
Was it not?
I mean, look, it did make a boatload of money, but it also cost a boatload of money.
It made a small boatload of money, not the boatload that they were hoping it would make, that they expected and bet on it to make.
I'm sorry, but my evil mastermind laugh had to come out because Chris brought up BVS, and then Charles scolded him like a child. And those are two of my favorite things.
Wait, we don't have... Well, I'm not doing a show with BVS apologies.
No, I like BVS. I said it.
Oh, man. For a second there, I had to reconsider my career options.
When we did our panel, I said that I had a good time watching it. It had its flaws, but I didn't think it was that bad. And Charles, I think you were somewhere similar.
I defended that you call Batman a murderer. And I said, well, he basically responded to the violence, and that's where we disagreed. But the rest of it we agreed on. But I absolutely agree the extended edition is a whole different movie. But neither one of us agree with Chris and his rape shower, crybaby, Martha crap. They do that every time.
Whoa!
Chris gets a little triggered.
Apparently Casey does, too. I heard Casey just take up arms, get his thinking out.
But let's circle back to Avengers because that's the reason this came up. The movie's a license to print money, regardless of the quality. Yeah. And I don't think that there's anything that can tear that down. So I feel like until they see the real scope of how successful it's going to be, they're obviously going to be like, oh well, you know, this was kind of a big ordeal, and we're really rolling the dice on it, but not really, as we'll get into when we talk about the formula of Marvel films, right? That's on the docket tonight, right, Chris? Yeah. So I take it with a grain of salt, you know? It's just they probably have nothing planned now, or they can't talk about it now, but they will, because what reason would they ever have not to take advantage of this? Maybe the only functional shared universe in the history of anything
still,
ever.
Reading the quotes in it, I don't think they're saying no more conglomeration movies. I think they're using bad terminology here, like I opened this up with, of this is a huge crossover event with tons of characters. If we had a show where we called it or at least in the comments, it was 66 characters were added as they walked through the parking lot or something like that. I'm talking about the movie. But I think they'll still have...
I think I saw Shamrock back there. Oh, dude, really?
I don't think they count not Civil War. I don't think they count Winter Soldier as a team-up film. Yet we had 3 to 4 major Avengers characters in that film.
I mean, that was Avengers 2.
No,
that
Civil War was Avengers 2.5.
Oh, my God. These fractions. I can't do it.
I mean, looking at this... Well, there's two interesting things that come out of this. One, they're acknowledging that this is an unwieldy beast. I mean, he's like... they're talking about Josh Brolin, and they're like, who plays Thanos in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, has no shortage of major co-stars in the movies. He'll be joined on screen by Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Paul Rudd, Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Chris Evans, Brie Larson, Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, yeah, and many, many more. That's true. These are, like, a good third of the slice of these guys, these are A-list actors. And the rest are, like, most of the rest are B-tier at worst. You know what I mean? So these are people who are a lot of these people are at the height of demand in their career, you know, and they granted they're there partially because of these contracts that they signed. But like, I mean, RDJ signed his contract forever ago. Scarlett Johansson signed her contract forever
ago.
You know
it's going to be 10 years by the time that movie comes out.
Right. And it's like, you know, this was a huge commitment from all these people. And can you imagine trying to schedule shoots with all of those people? I mean, I'm sure that they prioritize the Marvel project in a big way, but like, how difficult must it be for these actors to schedule other work around that and everything on their level? You know what I mean? And then it's kind of like we talked a few weeks ago when I went to see Wrath of Khan. Shatner was talking about how he was shooting T.J. Hooker and he was shooting one of the Star Trek films, and how the Star Trek film went late, and how it was going to push into his filming of T.J. Hooker. You know what I mean? And it was a big deal. It's like, well, that's my regular gig. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of these people are in a similar situation. Like, if one of their projects goes late, or if this project goes late, you know what I mean? We're talking about big money. Like, RDJ gets tens of millions of dollars when he does a movie, and so do some of these other people. So, this is a pretty big deal.
On the Justice League side, we've already seen those ramifications with the reshoots involved and bringing back Henry Cavill and the mustache.
And digitally removing Henry Cavill's mustache. Which should have... It might as well have just got a co-star billing at that point.
The other thing here... there's a quote from Berlin talking about, you know, he says, it's just a different type of acting, but then when I saw, they showed me a little 6-minute teaser of a scene that I had done, and I was so blown away by how next level this digital process is and how real it feels, Berlin said. I don't know how I could be anything but happy. If everybody hates me at the end of it, I don't know. Will it be worth it if it's a great movie? Maybe. Now, what he just said there... I feel like that's a huge spoiler. I feel like he kills somebody major in one of the scenes.
Well, they've already teased that with...
Like, major, major.
Well, it's Captain America. They're going to kill Cap, and I'm going to cry like a big old baby. Like, I cried at the end of Logan, and... Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
I'd rather they kill Steve before he becomes a Hydra agent, if that's possible.
Oh. Phase 4, Secret Empire movies. I would be so done.
You have to wonder how close they're going to play this Thanos character to the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. And if that's the case, I mean, he's basically going to kill everybody. But the Gauntlet somebody will have to stay dead. Somebody has to stay dead, whether it's sacrificing themselves or whatever to get the Gauntlet. But he could easily kill everybody. And...
Yeah. In the original book, he kills half the superheroes before, like, the second issue even starts. That's why the Fantastic Four don't even show up. because they're all dead or never existed.
So this film comes out on May 4th, 2018. In between then and now for Marvel, we've got Thor Ragnarok next week. We've got Black Panther in February. Yeah, the hype around Black Panther is real right now, man.
Oh, yeah. With Killmonger's gold armor, having cloaking technology and whatnot.
Don't you ruin stuff, Casey.
Hype.
Do it.
What? Oh, right. You're very anti-trailer.
Except when he watches the trailer.
I have made it clear. I'll watch the first trailer, and then that's it. I don't want to see the rest of it. I just want to get a little bit of a taste.
Isn't this the only trailer?
No, they dropped one at the Super Bowl.
Oh.
It was maybe it's a teaser trailer, but I've watched the one that's out there where they're talking to...
Yes, that large sporting event. I am aware of this.
Aren't you guys so excited that Justin Timberlake's going to do the halftime show this year? Actually, I'm super excited about that. I love JT. Oh, my God. No, it would never happen. Never mind. I was going to say, how amazing would it be if they did some Andy Samberg stuff, but there's no way they would do that at the Super Bowl.
Not after the last time he showed up at the Super Bowl. They're not going to let him.
They're not going to allow any women on stage with JT at all.
Yeah.
They don't want to risk.
Friend of the show,
Justin Timberlake.
I mean, if he wants to be, I'm for it.
Dude, I'd be down, Klotz. Let's do a fan club Justin Timberlake podcast. I bet we'd rock it. It'd be awesome.
All right.
Girls would love it. All right, I'm excited. Vincent D'Onofrio has finally been officially announced to return as Wilson Fisk in season 3 of Marvel's Daredevil.
Which all but confirms we're getting born again.
Yep.
Which I've not read, so I'm excited to find out about it.
Oh, well, they already used one of the best scenes from it at the end of Defenders, so I'm a little confused at what they're going to do in season 3.
Well, I mean, when you're talking that storyline, I mean, basically one of the big things in that storyline you can't use because they're not going to turn Karen into, you know, a junkie.
Right.
You don't know. They could.
Nah.
Probably not. I mean, I'm with you. They probably won't, but they could. They've not set any boundaries that we know of that says, oh, well, they could have done this, but they didn't.
She is maybe a former porn star. They have been hinting that there's like an alleged video that might only actually be in the first season, but there's definitely something there about her past that isn't just about like her brother dying and whatnot, I think. So I don't
know. You think they're in that direction?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, Deborah Ann Woll is just so adorable and wholesome, and I really hate to see anything bad happen to her.
Watch True Blood.
Yeah.
I was gonna say you didn't watch
I'm over vampires, but
yeah, it was True Blood was an okay show, but her acting there, she was not wholesome.
Is she super evil?
Yeah, just about.
Different E word.
No. Actually, the funny part is she's actually super wholesome and adorable initially on True Blood.
It's you know what, Casey? If you get bored at some point and you really like her acting, True Blood is actually worth giving a shot to watch just because you like her in it.
All right. But I would still have to kind of suffer through Anna Paquin, and I'm not entirely comfortable with that right now.
Why? You were just Rogue.
She did my favorite X-Men no favors. No favors. I do declare.
Oh, I'll say it on the record. She's the worst. Everything I've ever seen her in, I'm like, why? Who hires you?
Yeah,
you're terrible.
Go home.
Get your teeth
fixed. Honestly, not that she's ugly. I would not body shame her at all. I just didn't need to see her naked.
I want to address what Paul just said. Yeah, exactly. Get your teeth fixed. I don't understand all this gap tooth love. Hashtag not my Donatello. You hear it, Frank? You hear it?
And I say that as a gap tooth person.
Lord.
But Charles, if you don't know anything about Born Again, which again, likely the story of season 3, give it a read. It's really good. And the follow-up story with Nuke, who showed up in Jessica Jones, is great too, even though that's technically not part of the story.
Which is why I don't think we're going to get Nuke in this, and I think we're going to get Bullseye.
But we could get Captain America. Yeah, right.
They'll have one of those commercials playing in the background of him telling you to gym class.
Telling you to eat your vegetables.
I can't even do it. I can't even do the stupid videos that he does.
Did you have a question?
No, I was just gonna talk
about puberty. I mean, I'm as hyped for Daredevil as anybody. You know, the second half of season two is okay, but it hasn't really let me down to where I wouldn't watch it.
And the Immortal Iron Fist.
Wait, the Immortal Iron Fist, protector of the capital city of Kunlun? That Immortal Iron Fist?
Yep.
Oh.
Sworn enemy of the hand.
Sworn enemy of the hand? Hero for hire? Oh, wait, not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Spoilers!
He's going to have a longer title than Daenerys Targaryen.
You know, so this reminds me that something funny happened on the internet today. Where we talked about, we didn't talk about it on the show, but we talked about it in our chat recently about the controversy going on around about Moana costumes and whatnot. We're not going to get into that too much here because we're not really
way too triggered to bring to this show.
Racial appropriation.
But our good friend Tony P. Henderson from Geek Versus posted today. He goes, "So wait, can I or can I not be Moana for Halloween?" And it's a funny question, but then someone's like, yeah, but then you've got to go around saying her line, which I'm trying to find it. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, you can, but you can only scream, "I am Moana Mata Nui," every 5 minutes, because she does that, by the way, if you haven't seen Moana. And I'm like the Immortal Iron Fist, defender of Kunlun. And so now I want somebody to be Moana, the Immortal Iron Fist, defender of Kunlun. You know, and just if Tony P could make that happen, he would like fill my heart with joy.
And chi.
Yeah. Oh wait, sorry, hold on. No, that takes some time. Alright, it's full.
Good. There we go. No blue balls on your chi. Not this
my
episode.
My fist was glowing if you couldn't see that at home, folks. I'm sorry.
Who's to swing it back to Daredevil, who's your guy's ideal casting for Bullseye? And why is it Colin Farrell again?
Why isn't it Colin Farrell?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I'm not close enough to Bullseye to really care. It just can't be that level of cheese. Like, I don't think Colin Farrell's a bad actor. I just think he's a bad actor in a comic film, if that makes any sense.
It's time to bring the noise. You know how it's time to bring
portrayed.
The pain.
I want to see him portrayed in a way that I haven't seen before on film. I always felt like Bullseye, I'm going to say swishy, but I don't mean it in any kind of negative way, but like a good anime villain. You know how they're very...
He's Robbie Rotten. Anybody?
Like Castlevania. Dracula's son in Castlevania.
Alucard?
Yeah, his movements. Like the way he... That's how I want to see Bullseye portrayed because I just think
sexy shirtless Bullseye.
Well, yeah, that would be
he
good.
He flows. Dude. You're but saying no,
there's
he
like
flows
a fluidity,
through life. Yeah,
a fluidity.
Yeah,
his motions that I think would be advantageous to a character like Bullseye.
I agree.
Willem Dafoe, Boondock Saints.
Oh, there. Yeah. I can't disagree with that.
He definitely has a smile that makes you want to punch his teeth out.
Did you see that fan art of the dude that made him up on the a Joker poster? And I was like, why has nobody thought of this before? It was insane.
Well, he already played the Marvel version of the Joker.
What?
I like his casting as Norman Osborn, but you're right. He is the spitting image of the Joker.
Yeah, I have a problem with that Green Goblin. I can't separate the two and then not think about that effing mask and that effing armor.
And what we could have had.
Yes, and what we could have had. Yeah. Sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to run over you.
No, it's fine. I just can't believe he just lobbed that out there, though, Casey. Like,
what?
He is not the Joker. Green Goblin is anything but.
In those movies, he kind of is. Oh, he's got bombs, and he's having the giggle fits. I don't know. I mean, I think it works. Who would you say in comics is the closest to the Joker in... And please don't say Carnage, because I just can't do it. it would explain why I also don't care for the Joker.
What?
Yeah. He's overplayed. I'm over it. I don't know if there's a story you can tell with the Joker that hasn't already been done.
I feel you on the overplayed part, but I think you still have... I have to acknowledge the greatness that is the character of the Joker. but I understand why he shouldn't have to be in everything that's even remotely Batman related anymore.
Right.
Like, it's time to move on. We can tell other stories.
Batman has the greatest rogues gallery in all of maybe anything.
And all they want to do is keep playing with the clown.
Yeah, give me a Clayface. Give me Clayface.
What? You mean Green Arrow's rogues gallery, right?
No. Definitely not.
Why are you always going to be starting stuff,
you mean,
Chris?
You mean Jim Gordon's rogues gallery?
Yeah. Not, yeah.
Chris Wisdom, okay. If you're going to keep starting trouble, you go to your room.
No, I mean Jim Gordon's co-workers.
I'm just saying, his rogues gallery has been anything but his rogues gallery
for the last few years. Yes, you're right. But that show, Gotham, like season 2 of Next Generation, needs to grow some facial hair and start getting good. That's all I'm saying.
Gotham has had like some really great moments, but then it's had some really not great moments.
I
just keep circling around back to it every time I watch it, and I'm just like, what they need to do is just nut up and say, this isn't about Batman. Bruce Wayne in this reality will never become Batman. This right. is the Jim Gordon show, because all I can think about is this 15-year-old Bruce Wayne who, once he becomes Batman in his prime, still cannot get a 60-year-old man to stay behind bars. And every week has to go out and capture him again. And it bugs me.
Yeah. Yeah. But coming back to your question, Casey, I don't know that I can think of anybody in the Marvel Universe that equates to the Joker.
Okay.
Anybody else? I mean, anybody got thoughts? I mean, it's a good question, but I don't.
I don't think it was an incorrect statement. I mean, his insanity has more to do with.
He's a chemical scientist. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, there's a couple of layers there. I mean, arch nemesis kills somebody that he loves.
I feel the parallels. Like, I feel what you're saying. I just don't. I think the characterization is kind of different. I don't know.
Maybe I think not. Joker is chaos, and he just wants to mess with the bat.
I feel like Green Goblin wants to be calculated, but then is crazy and it gets in the way of him, where I don't feel like the Joker wants to be calculated at all. He just wants to be chaos. Yeah. But he is calculated as an instrument of chaos.
And as a natural response to Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Well, we spoke about Moana and how it's triggering people, and we didn't really go off on that, but go do your research, look it up online, because honestly, I mean, we'd have to cut out half the show with our strong feelings about that article. But under a slightly different topic, but along the same lines, a Marvel writer discovered that Kellogg's had some racially insensitive cereal box artwork. This has actually been big enough that it's hit all the normies news sources, right? This is not just comic book news. I turned on my radio this morning going to the office and heard them talking about it on the radio to fill everybody in. Now, and it's also a story because he tweeted them, as soon as he realized it and had a quick dialogue, and then they changed it. And it'll hit the stores soon. But what's happening is Kellogg's Pops decided to humanize all their little cereal bits. And Kellogg's Pops is golden. And so you got all these golden, which kind of looks white, right? All these golden little people in the mall doing things and running around and shopping and things you do at the mall. The one dark Pop was the janitor mopping the floor on the box. And so he tweeted that and said, "Hey, it's not like a huge deal." I'm paraphrasing here, and feel free to quote the article if you want. But
"Hey, Kellogg's, why is literally the only brown corn pop on the whole box the janitor?
Yeah.
This is teaching kids racism. Yes, it's a tiny thing, but when you see your kids staring at this over breakfast and realize millions of other kids are doing the same, ellipses."
Yeah, and I would, at first I thought people were being overly sensitive, but when I read his quote, I was like, you know what, you're right. When you take the one different pop, if you will, and I mean, why couldn't they be shopping instead of that? I mean, it was odd, but I thought it was interesting that.
I mean, why is there even one different pop?
Yeah, yeah. Right, because there's not one in the cereal box.
They're bleeping corn pops. We don't need to have racial diversity in our corn pops.
It wasn't about racial diversity. It was about there is an ugly brown corn pop in every box, just like there's an ugly carrot
<'Cause it laughs>
in every bag.
So you're taking
corn pop in every box.
You're taking the trash corn pop, because that's what it is in the actual reality of life. It's the one nobody wants to eat. And you made it a character on your regular box, which makes it look, let's be honest, African-American or Middle Eastern. It's dark-skinned, if you will. And you gave it the crappy job. How did this make it past all the checks to get out into the world?
I don't know, man. You ever look at a VHS Disney box cover?
Checks are not the same as corn pops.
Yeah.
Nothing, honey. That's what it is. Klotz, I kind of figured you'd have
fun about Cookie Crisp.
Klotz, I thought you'd have to say something about that.
About what?
About the whole situation where Galax put this out and...
Marvel, I just want to know what kind of asshole artist is like, let's make the janitor corn pop a brown guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to is there's an artist somewhere who's like, I colored all of these, you know.
With the same exact shade.
Exact shade. And then one of them is the dark one. That's who you should point your finger at and be like, yo, I could see it slipping through. Let's be real. I could see this slipping through like approval because it's a menagerie of these little characters. You know what I mean? It's a cereal box art that has a couple dozen of these characters.
A veritable Where's Waldo of corn pops.
Right, exactly. It's like that. So you'd have to have a real trained eye to like pick that out. But absolutely, the moment you see it, it's like very obvious. And it's insulting, man. Like,
now, I don't know if we'll ever get the truth here, but I kind of feel like this is one of those deals where he colored them all the same, and some middle management asshole came back to him and was like, we need diversity. You better put something in here. And he's like, oh, yeah, screw you, man, and made that one the answer just in response to the middle management.
Though I would also respond to Mr. Ahmed and say, why is it a problem that he's a janitor?
True.
Yeah, those custodial engineers make a solid living.
People who work in the service industry are needed and are no less than anybody else. So, I mean, there is a flip side to this whole thing, but it is very clearly, you know, it stands out as being a thing.
I think it wouldn't have been a thing if there'd been multiple dark pops and only one of them was a janitor, the other one was a shop.
Oh, man, I'm getting my money back if there's multiple dark pops in the damn box. Come on, seriously, let's talk about this. They don't taste right. Sometimes they're chewy for no reason. It's gross. It's gross.
Not
says the man who eats MREs.
I'll be eating plenty of those.
Oh, God. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
This cornflakes. I mean, sorry, corn pops.
Oh.
You know what? That's going to be our care package.
That's the correction you want to make.
Oh, all right. Moving on. I'll let one of you guys take this. I'll read the headline because I'm not sure who put it in. Jeff Johns.
It was me.
Oh. This is,
I'll take it
for you. Go for
here,
it. Go for
host,
it.
Host, man.
GSTU's own Casey.
I read this on Bleeding Cool, which, as you guys know, is like the National Enquirer of comic book news. And I love it because it's such a huge sensational headline, but maybe there's possibly truth to it. So the president of DC Entertainment, Diane Nelson, posted on her private Facebook page a series of... like very upsetting, almost like in distress kind of a note about losing a business friend. And I think Rich Johnston wrote this himself, but he sort of speculates that they're talking about Jeff Johns no longer working with her because he would work right under her as president of DC Comics, which to me still kind of blows my mind considering I only really knew him as the guy who originally wrote a fan letter into Teen Titans saying Superboy should be a clone of Lex Luthor and Superman, and then making it happen when he became a professional. And also having a huge man boner for Hal Jordan and Barry Allen for some reason, when they've always been kind of bleh, historically.
Yeah. No. Don't. Yeah. I'm fighting you. Yep, I'm fighting you.
All right, fine. You can fight me all you want. Even though you grew up with Kyle Rayner and Wally West.
Yeah.
But all right. But yeah, so the speculation around this, and I don't know if this has been making huge buzz, but I saw it was definitely interesting, was that he may no longer be affiliated with the company in that role. Like, they may be moving him over to the film stuff, just, I guess, based on how well or not well it's doing. So I don't know if you guys want to throw your hat in the ring in the speculation.
I would just like Charles to remember a few months, if not probably a year ago, when someone on this panel disagreed with the gospel as handed down by certain others and made the proclamation that Geoff Johns is the DC analog of Kevin Feige. And they said, no, no. And anyone that disagrees is blasphemous.
Well,
you
were
preaching that at me.
You were blasphemous, and it's been a year. It's been a year. And see, this is how powerful I am. They just wanted to prove me wrong, so they took a year to put all the stuff into place to then move him over to maybe be the Kevin Feige. I mean, he's like a tenth of the man Kevin Feige is, but maybe be the Kevin Feige.
Oh, my God, you are insane. You are so insane.
You're a madman, McFall. You're a madman.
Charles, you're going down a road that does not end.
I know. I know. I'm being a little salty tonight just to see what happens. We were right then, but that a year has passed. Man, things have changed.
And no, you weren't right then.
I'm always right. Shut up, Chris.
It's just been progressively more and more evident that he is the Kevin Feige of the DCEU.
So you love BVS is what you're saying.
No, because he wasn't involved with that. That was after.
But wait, no, wait, if he's the Kevin Feige, he was involved with everything.
No, he wasn't.
I don't know who's on board anymore, but history tells me it's not Charles.
Yes.
I do declare, Casey, you have a
pistol's a dog, sir.
This shall not stand. I don't know. I mean, okay, so we don't have any definitive anything. And honestly,
she could have lost her dog for all we know. It could have been a business partner of a dog. I mean,
this is true. It could have been her personal assistant.
It's just so sensationalized and like. But if it turns out to be true, then I think it could prove kind of interesting. Not that I am excited about DC's comics or their movies at present speaking, but, you know, I'm still waiting for that card to flip.
I want Chris to be right. I do. I want Chris to be right that Johns is going to come in and get to be the puppet master of the DC universe, and all of a sudden we see this amazing uptick, and we get at least a 10-year run of the awesome big screen world that is DC. I do want Chris to be right. I'm just waiting to see it. What if Geoff Johns hires Michael Bay? I'm just saying, Chris. What are you going to do there?
You know what? No, he's going to be busy making Dora the Explorer. Yeah. Sorry.
Dora the Exploder.
That would be so bad.
That's pretty good.
That would be great. All right, so what I'm drawing from this is that everything DC says is bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Because everything that they say won't happen inevitably happens within a year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the definitive cut of this film.
Except this cut over here.
Technically,
the Snyders are leaving over personal tragedy, but then a couple months later, we find out that they were being pushed out anyways. And not to make light of the personal tragedy that was said,
it was.
And Geoff Johns is not Kevin Feige, and yet he is.
Well, hopefully, he's becoming that, because they actually have stuck true to their word. He was not Kevin Feige because they wouldn't let him be. But it looks like they are going, well, okay, we have to. Maybe. And I'm thinking that maybe they're saying that.
I don't know. It sounds like everything that they say is bupkis. Like,
they're bluffing in a long con. It's going to all amount to something great. You just got to hold to it.
Yeah, that's been Warner Brothers' strong suits, holding two things.
Yeah, like Matrix sequels.
Hey, you do not talk bad about my Matrix sequels.
Oh, come on, Charles. Throw me a bone here. I'm trying to like you.
Just stop while you're ahead. Embrace your hatred, and it'll make this go Casey? So much smoother.
We'll always have Ellen Page. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. As a young Carrie Fisher.
Yes. See, there is something to like there. I'm no Carnage. I'm just saying.
No, you are not.
You are not, sir. I have read Carnage, and you, sir, are no Carnage.
You are no Carnage. I don't want to see you sprawled out on Jameson's desk.
I don't think anybody wants to see that, Casey. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break here as we do. And you listen to this awesome, awesome ads for Underoos or whatever else is selling today. And we'll be back with some awesome stuff after this. And we're back with some cool stuff here.
How great was that advertisement we definitely just heard?
I'm surprised that Corn Pops popped up on this show that we're talking about Corn Pops. That's amazing.
I didn't even know you could get me undies in Nature Box.
So who wants to talk about this Thor Ragnarok stuff going on?
Well, here? So I pulled this because it's not even necessarily about Thor Ragnarok. It's Kevin Feige talking to the formulaic or the narrative that Marvel movies are formulaic, and it comes across because the interviewer made a remark about how funny Thor Ragnarok was and that it's almost gone into full comedy. And Kevin, his answer to that was a little not standoffish, but so the interviewer says, it sounds like you take it maybe a little bit personally. The criticism, these movies have a similar tone. You said that the next three Marvel movies are going to be built to be different. Is that a response to this criticism? And Kevin says,
that's a fair question.
It is.
It's a fair question, but I still think the premise is off base, but sure. We'll get to that. So Kevin replies with saying, no, I mean, I think it's just the way we make the movies. I think all the movies are relatively different. I think there's a narrative that people like to write about because they're all produced by the same team and they all inhabit the same fictional cinematic universe that we look for common similarities. And I'm not saying that there aren't common similarities throughout it, but I think Thor Ragnarok and Spider-Man Homecoming are two totally different types of movies. They're both fun. People both enjoy them. Is that a similarity? If so, I'll take it. If that's a criticism, I'll take that too. But really, yeah, Homecoming, Ragnarok, Panther, Into Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp after that, and a 90s set Captain Marvel after that. These are six very different movies. If what they have in common is that they're all really enjoyable and fun to watch, then I'll take it. And we can't sit there and talk about how many different genres these movies touch and still and how different they are from each other and still say that they're the same. Is it because they're not Midnight Black and filmed in pure sepia tones? Is that also another similarity? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Is there hope in these movies? Is there light and I don't know, a bit of whimsy? Yes. I'm sorry that that's a bad thing, but I don't know. I feel like they take too many shots across that bow, and I don't know that they even care because they're like, well, you still keep giving us way more money than you're giving the other guys.
The only time I've personally ever felt them as samey was when I saw Doctor Strange, which I didn't totally care for.
What was samey, I guess?
It's just Iron Man. It's the same. It's like the same movie.
Is it the same movie because you have? It's a hero's journey movie?
It's the hero's journey movie, but it's a scientist who's world renowned in his field, suffers a crippling physical ailment, you know, tries to find a way to get around it. It like all the pieces kind of fell together. And, you know, I say that having read the comics my entire life and knowing full well, you know, Stan Lee's a master of repeating the same kind of tropes and making it work. But like Doctor Strange as a film works for me because it's visually exciting. But plot-wise, for the first time, it felt like more of the same, is why I'm glad the way they resolved the Dormammu as a bad guy plot worked, too, because that was different.
I'll give you, there's a little bit there of redemption, but that's the thing. I mean, you could pick out, you name any 10 movies, and you'll probably find some similarities underneath. And I think people pick on Marvel because it's successful. And that's what we do as a world society, is we try to take down those who are successful. And I think if anything, you could say, like he said, they're fun to watch. They have humor in them. All of them have humor in them. And they might be a little formulaic to the point of, we know where Act 1 is the setup. Act 2 is the tragedy. Act 3 is the hope-bringing finale. Whatever, however you want to put that. But that's just story writing. And if you look through the comics, like you said, Casey, there's a lot of similarities in the comics. Yeah, Iron Man and Doctor Strange have similar background stories, but they can be told in much different ways. And I felt like Doctor Strange was enough different, if you really dive into the character versus how Tony did his stuff in the movies. It is a different movie. I'm with you, Chris. And we talked about all the different genres they're hitting, and I think that that's a good thing here.
Ant-Man is supposed to technically have the same, a very similar origin to Iron Man as well.
But they didn't do that. Well, they took Ant-Man 2, basically. They took
right,
the
Scotland. But that's what I'm saying, is that they opted to make an effort to do something really different.
Right.
And with Doctor Strange, they kind of didn't, and I'm a little upset that it was, like I said, it was the first one that felt samey for me. So I give the other ones, like, tons of slack if they allegedly are all the same. But for me, that criticism definitely held true for at least one film.
I would disagree. I think they dove, instead of changing the character, they left the character, who is similar to Iron Man, and the origin, right, and the arrogance and the downfall and the redemption, but they focused on the mysticism, which we had not really seen in the Marvel Universe yet.
Yeah.
And even when you look at, say the fall from the hero, as he falls to injury and then does this thing to become the hero, like, it was a constant struggle for Strange, where Tony, once it comes into the tech realm, that's Tony's wheelhouse. He didn't have to learn anything new. Like, Doctor Strange had to become a completely different person.
Yeah.
Had to learn, not only, like, learning a completely new set of skills, which Tony didn't have to do, but he had to become a completely different person.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's base similarities, but to me, I don't know that they're any more egregious than just, it's a hero's journey. And, right. Like, Charles, you know, basic storytelling. Because at the end of the day, if you can make the characters compelling, and you can make the story good, then you don't need to go outside of just basic story structure. I think, you know, not everything needs to be the usual suspects, I guess.
Yeah, or Seven, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So. And here's the thing, too. Once it's been done, everything's a knockoff of it, right? And if you dig deep enough, you could take Usual Suspects, if you knew enough of literature history or, you know, basically a wide range of knowledge and what's been written or done throughout the ages, you could probably find similar stories done that you could draw parallels to Usual Suspects. But for the cinematic universe, Star Wars, everything is compared to Star Wars, and it's hard to do something new and original nowadays, because it's like, well, Star Wars did it. Well, at the time, nobody was doing science fiction like that on the big screen. Star Wars' story is not that original. If you look at anything that Shakespeare did, the way they did it is they set it in space and they did great practical effects. They did something on screen that nobody was doing.
Star Wars is also notable for being a ripoff of a Kurosawa film.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Which is, yeah, you haven't heard that?
No, I'm fairly familiar with Kurosawa. I'm just, which one was it supposed to be a ripoff?
It was
of? Not the Seven Samurai.
Fortress.
Yeah.
Fortress? I've seen Fortress. I didn't really get that parallel. Okay.
I mean, it's got everything down to the skinny guy and the fat guy who are C-3PO and R2-D2. Like, if you...
I guess so. I wasn't looking for it when I watched Fortress, so I guess you're right.
It's really, like on the surface. I would say that the rip-offedness is about, on the, for me, the same level that, like, Doctor Strange and Iron Man is. But it doesn't totally kill my enjoyment of the movie, but, like, I definitely feel like Star Wars is a little less special in a world where that film already exists. I mean, they basically take it and they put it in space, and they just add a lot more. I mean, it's also visually, like, way more amazing. So it takes things to another level, like you said. Like, Doctor Strange is, you know, it's not just a hero's journey, but it becomes its own beast. Which I guess I have only seen it once, so I could probably do to watch it again and give it another fair chance.
I think. But, a lot of what sets Star Wars apart is the world building. Like, it's all borrowed, but it's all borrowed in such a way that it creates something new that people really are interested in. You know right. what I mean?
I also don't know if my opinion of Star Wars can ever really change, considering just, like, I've been following it since I was a kid, and we had a huge conversation about the expanded universe before the show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you guys obviously know. You're in the same wheelhouse. Like, what would it take for Star Wars to not be good anymore? Like, you already suffered through the prequels.
I was going to say, I think the prequels proved that the nostalgia factor is heavy enough for those of us who grew up with it that it doesn't matter. Like, we'll always have the original trilogy, no matter how bad it is, by modern filmmaking standards, and how cliche it becomes because it's been played out and replicated and everything else. It'll still always be this part of our childhood. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that is, like, you can't undermine that. You know what I mean? It'd be really difficult to do that. But yeah, I mean, the struggle with any of these properties, Star Wars, Marvel, whoever, is to keep replicating success while building a world that people still gel with. And I think that's, you know, obviously where the prequels fell flat is, like, some people gelled with it, some people didn't. It's about targeting certain demos. That's where things get complicated. You can definitely lose people's faith in your brand. I know I had little faith until Clone Wars really started to buy it back. Like, the goodness of mid to late Clone Wars, the animated version, not the, or the later animated, the CGI version, not the animated version. I think
which is good in its own right.
Yeah,
right.
Right. But I think most people have forgotten the Samurai Jack style one.
Yeah. They're horrible people. Those are horrible, horrible people.
But I mean, like, that, they started to reacquire capital with me through doing good storytelling through Clone Wars. And yeah, I mean, and here we are.
And then we went to Mandalore.
Is there a Marvel movie that you guys don't care for? Like, are we all in agreement that, like, Iron Man 2 is the bottom of the barrel for all of them?
Or? No. Craptastic 4.
Like MCU Marvel?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not putting them all in, but, you know, just to keep it on point with the sameness argument.
I would personally, I'm the guy who loves all the stuff. I do not hate any of the Marvel films.
I enjoy all of them.
You know what? I would have to go back and watch them again now after the time has passed. Because when I first see them, like, I'm just caught up in it. And people are like, well, Iron Man 2 kind of sucks. I didn't think so when I watched it. But maybe now after seeing some of the other stuff they've done, I might go, yeah, that might be the weakest one.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I think you're fine. I think Thor Dark World is probably for me the bottom, and then Iron Man 2 slightly above that. But.
Okay.
Thor Dark World is rough.
I think it's better than the first one.
I was going to say. I really think the first Thor film is really bad. Like, I still enjoyed it. There's still some great beats in it, but that film is rough. Like, that is not a very good movie when you look at it as a whole. It has great characters, it has great character work, but yeah, the overall plot, I mean, I like the Iron Man. I like all three Iron Man movies. Like, they don't really bother me. I understand why people don't, but, like, I don't know. It's tough.
You know, there's an interesting principle here too of when you see it, right? Somebody was mentioning the other day that they had heard Alien Ant Farm's Michael Jackson cover. And
Smooth Criminal.
Yep. Smooth Criminal, thank you.
Only song?
Yeah, basically.
No, they had the movies.
That's right, they did have the movies, they did.
Which played on radio for like 2 years before the other song came out, and then everybody
went crazy over Smooth Criminal, yeah. But I don't know, in America, how this ever happens, but they had never heard Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal until years after they had heard Alien Ant Farms. And they said, it's not that good. And I promptly slapped them in the face and kicked them out of my office. But the point is, they were exposed to that version first, and I think you can kind of run into some of that. Whereas we, even the baby that is Casey, grew up with, hey, this is Iron Man, then Hulk, and then blah, 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 and went on through. Whereas now somebody's going to jump in at somebody might literally jump in at Infinity War, and that's their first Marvel film. And then if they go back and watch these, they're going to be, some of this is hot trash.
And I mean, you see that schism with the Star Wars fans with prequel babies versus OT babies.
What about new T babies? That's the question we're going to be asking ourselves.
Yeah. Bring your Rey game. Well, long before the Rey, there was a lot of other strong women in the Force. So.
I mean, look, I don't want to say that, you know, Force Awakens is better than A New Hope, but it's got all the right elements in it.
It's got the same elements in it. Casey, what are you talking about? I love the movie, but it's the same movie. But what you make a point, though. If you see The Force Awakens first and you go, oh, these are great, let me go back, you're going to see New Hope and go, this is just Force Awakens. Force Awakens was better because you saw it first, possibly.
I mean, Harrison Ford is way more charismatic in that movie, but.
Well, he didn't get a whole lot of chance in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't stab first.
Why has nobody made that joke
that
yet?
That is still too soon, because it's too soon. I still
Chris,
have tears
that's not
in my
how
eyes.
This works. That's not how any of this works.
No. God, it hurts even thinking about that. Damn them.
But Charles, if you had to make the call now, just off the top of your head,
okay,
what Marvel movie you probably cared for the least? Like, what's one that you would maybe have the most hesitance going back to rewatch then?
Honestly, as much as I love the Hulk, it's the Incredible Hulk, the MCU official with Ed Norton. Because I loved it when it came out. I want more. And that's what irritates me about this interview is like, well, these films are unofficial Hulk trilogy. Shut up and give me an official Hulk trilogy. But I did go back and watch recently, within the last year, The Incredible Hulk, and with fond memories. And I was doing a thing with MCU cast. And we watched it and went, man, this thing was not nearly as good as my hopes and dreams had made it when I first watched it.
Yeah, you know? That movie was not great.
No. I only have one desire for a Hulk movie, and it will probably never happen.
Which one's that?
Future Imperfect.
Yeah.
It's great, and for those of you listening who don't know what it is, the Hulk is sent like 80 years into his own future into a post-apocalyptic Mad Max kind of wasteland where the Hulk is known as the Maestro, and he's the king of everything. Mm-hmm. And he has the coolest, well, he doesn't have it, but Rick Jones, who's still alive and is old and in Professor X's old wheelchair, has the absolute coolest collection of dead superhero memorabilia that has ever graced a double page spread.
So,
and to see that in live action, I would lose my freaking mind.
Who wrote that?
That was Peter David.
Oh,
and with George Perez on art.
He happened to be on the panel at Dragon Con with our own Blazing Defender Reports, Travis Jones.
Yeah.
Check that out.
I don't know.
He talked about that book.
Yeah.
What did you call him?
Blazing Defender Reports, Travis Jones.
Oh, that is not what he calls himself now. change.
No, today he was the Black Defender Report. I don't know what that's about.
What?
I assume it was autocorrect, but when he did his show today, it came up as Black Defender Report.
That's
he was wearing a black hat.
Yeah, maybe it was that. Travis did an interview at Dragon Con where he and Larry David talked about that.
Peter David.
I always fucking do that.
Not me. Not it.
Marker, I'm going to pick up there where I don't screw it up. Yeah.
Oh, no, leave that in. No, that has to stay in. I meant the F-bomb.
Travis and Peter David talked about that exact story at that panel, and it was delightful.
It was very delightful. It was awesome.
He always asked about that all. He gets asked about that all the time. I feel like he's got to be tired of it now.
Well,
he's probably just waiting for somebody to be like, hey, talk to me about, like, all my Q novels.
Honestly, I think he was prompted to talk about that book of his own volition.
Yeah, I think he led us into that.
I think Travis asked him something like, what was, like, one of the ones that you that really resonated with you or that you really cared about still, if I recall correctly.
Oh.
I always like watching Peter David talk about stuff, though. I've seen him on two panels now in person, and both times I really enjoyed it. His ability to recall details is pretty remarkable.
And he's been in the game a long time.
He's a consummate showman too. He's always got the quips.
Yeah, it was really cool. And he talked about a special toy, and that is on the Facebook page for DragonCon Podcast. It's also on the Facebook page for Blazing Defender Report. And I believe that Travis has put the audio out as a podcast as well. You can check that out. But lots of cool stuff. But we actually have email. So our friends down under, Mrs. Allen's husband, writes in and says, Spidey thoughts. Having just rewatched the latest Marvel entry, it's a Sony, I'd like to take a moment just to say how freaking good is Tom Holland. When articles began to suggest that Spider-Man was to become the linchpin of Phase 4, I was a bit meh on it. After two failed Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, I thought...
Wait. I will give you maybe a half of a failed Spider-Man.
Tobey sucked.
Tobey is fine. Get out of here.
Okay, look, Charles, you just spent 10 minutes talking about how these movies only suck when you look at them in retrospect.
No, I hated them when I watched them. Those Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Well, you hate Spider-Man, though.
That's true.
Like in general, you hate Spider-Man?
Yeah, he hates Spider-Man.
He doesn't like Spider-Man.
No, I like Iron Spider. I like that storyline of where he's an adult and doing adult things. I hate high school Spider-Man.
Most of Spider-Man's stories are him trying to get a rent check before he has to get beat up by the Shocker.
I hate it.
The only thing he hates more than Spider-Man is Uncle Ben. So,
oh yes,
that's true.
I believe Charles is the only person in the audience that cheers whenever Uncle Ben dies.
Pretty much. Jeez. Pretty much.
Okay, but go on, reader.
Okay, back to what Frank's saying here. I thought audiences might find it hard to rally behind old Webhead in the same way they do Cap and Iron Man. Boy, was I wrong. And I will say, Casey, for the record, I do love what Marvel's actually done with Tom Holland Spider-Man. I am enjoying it. I expected to hate it. He's not whiny. He is not a brat. He is not some snot-nosed little punk. He is fun, and he's what a hero should be. And I like it. But going back to what he said.
Whoa, wait. He's what?
He's what a hero should be?
He's what?
Yeah. He didn't say
so
Martha.
How can you watch BVS if you know what a hero should be? What are the redeeming qualities you find in BVS?
Chris, go back and just listen to the audio. You'll find out I'm right. It's okay. Just think about the range Holland shows across the movie.
Drown yourself in a toilet, Tom.
A lot of bandwagoning right now.
Chris, at some point you'll wake up in a Taco Bell bathroom realizing the bleach didn't work, and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. This is just a bad dream for you.
And if you listen to this joke in 2015, he'd wake up in an Arby's bathroom next to that guy from Wham.
So here's what Mrs. Allen's husband says. Just think about the range Holland shows across the movie. The jittery, nervy teen desperately seeking approval from his new father figure. Arrogant, full of swagger, and too cool for school after some actual heroics. Brought back to reality and humbled without his suit, learning how to be a regular kid and pluck up the courage to ask out a pretty girl. Being intimidated and full of fear as he literally comes face to face with his nemesis in a car. That was a great scene. Generally freaking out and pleading for help as he lays trapped under a building. In all of these scenes, you totally buy what he's selling. There was never a time where I rolled my eyes at Tom attempting to make scenes believable. This is a far cry from Toby's inability to emote. Thank you. And Andrew Garfield simply being too cool for Peter Parker.
Yes!
Agree.
Oh, nailed that criticism of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. All this, and the kid is what, like 21?
He's 23.
Is he now? I thought he was a lot younger than when he first started trying out for all this stuff.
I think he was born in 94.
Well, he was 12 when he was in Iron Man 2.
No, the timing is wrong. It doesn't make sense. Don't get me started. That'd My be, inner editor is screaming.
Wouldn't that be... Never mind, doesn't matter. All this in the... Okay, to whoever is in charge of casting at Marvel, you the real MVP. You can have all the other pieces of a major motion picture working flawlessly, but without the right lead actor, it doesn't matter. Cough, Edward Norton, cough. So to summarize, I believe in Tom Holland. Spider-Man may not be my favorite hero, but I'll gladly follow him into the great unknown of Phase 4. Thwip, thwip. And to Frank, yeah, man, I'm with you on that one.
It's the only teenage Spider-Man I've ever cared about.
See, you and I get that. That's what I'm saying. I don't like the Teenage Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man? Casey? Ultimate Spider-Man.
I'm taking a hard pass on Ultimate Spidey, too.
So you can say, Casey, I appreciate you.
The whole
to include Mr. Morales?
He's okay. I haven't read enough of him. I read like the first 12 issues of his original book, and I was like, this is fine. But I don't like teenage heroes in general. And I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm the youngest person on the show, but I'm at a point in my life where like I've definitely outgrown wanting to read about teenage problems and stuff. Like, it's not something that's anymore that one, I don't ever want to relive, and two, is no longer relatable. So, like, I like characters that are younger. Like, I think the new Ms. Marvel is fine, and I think making the original five X-Men teenagers again is kind of interesting, but I don't know. It doesn't, like, I'm not flying off the shelf, like, to buy a Gravity book or something.
That's fair.
I don't know. I mean, I thought Darkhawk was cool when I was a kid, but that was,
Darkhawk was never cool.
Darkhawk was a little cool.
No, he was never cool.
But yes, okay, I prefer my Spider-Man as a man.
Yes!
And not a kid. It's, you know, it's the problem I have with, like, almost any time they do an animated thing, except for the Fox one in the 90s where he was in college, and that was fine. Even though it had a lot of neogenic weirdness, that was the excuse for everything. And I still don't quite get that, but whatever, it had spider carnage, so it's great, right, fellas?
Generator Rex did it better, I'm saying. Klotz, you got any response to Master Frank? Frank? Agent Frank?
I agree with pretty much everything he said except for the two failed Spider-Men. I mean, I don't think getting a full trilogy out is a failure. I do think the third original film was rough. You know what I mean? Like it's not
horrible.
It was bad. But like getting to that point is a clear success. There were great moments in those movies here and there. It's just like, yeah, overall, in hindsight, emo McGuire was not so good.
I mean, compared to Holland, I can see how you might think they're failed Spider-Man, for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. Oh, yeah, Tom Holland absolutely
failed
to
hit the mark of what Spider-Man could be.
But I liked the ASM movies outside of the Electro thing.
Oh, man, why'd they have to go so stupid sideways with Electro? He's a great bad guy. He's a great villain.
I don't even put that on Jamie Foxx.
No, I don't either.
I don't think that was his best acting, I think. But I think that he did what he was, the script he was given. You know what I mean?
He did phone it in. I felt a little phoned.
Well, but I think it was the movie. Script that he was given.
I don't think he had any range or any room to show his range. You know what I mean?
I mean, look at... What's that music one that he did with the kid in on the subway station thing where he discovers him? It's like late 90s, early 2000s. I think he got an Oscar nom for it.
Are you confusing him for Sinbad and Jingle All the Way?
No, sir. It's about a cello player. I don't remember. Anyway, Jamie Foxx.
No, it's about a mailman and an action figure.
Shut up.
Casey, I think you're getting confused with Kazam.
Oh. Yes, the movie that definitely exists.
All I'm saying is Jamie Foxx has range, and he's proven it. And they just they wrote the character poorly, and they didn't give him room to move. And Rhino in a robot suit. Paul Giamatti, and you waste him in a...
Well, that's Ultimates for you.
And I guess I'm trying to figure out how the... I don't know how to take Charles's criticism of...
Oh, are we going back?
In my estimation, a C-level Spider-Man character, but a C-level character for a villain for a hero you don't even like, and you're talking about how good of a villain he is? Electro is not that good of a villain.
He's like Thunderbolts.
I don't expect him to be anything other than like a Sinister Six show up.
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, behind Jim Dandy the Ox, I mean, that's the next step up.
Electro is not a spurned, fired coworker who is a failure at life. That is, I've never seen that version of
Electro. I don't
even
know
anywhere.
Regular Electro's origin. I think, isn't he just a small time crook who got caught up in something?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Yeah,
I
but
think
I would
actually give it credit that they somehow expanded on that.
The stuff they did with him in Civil War was good. The stuff they did with him in the line after Civil War where Oswald or
The Dark Avengers?
Yeah, Dark Avengers.
Or Dark Reign, right?
Dark Reign, but it was a Dark
with
Avengers.
Electro?
I think he was in Dark Reign. I know he was in Civil War. I remember specifically
the only significant thing I can think Electro of having done in like the past 10 years of comics is he broke all the guys out of the raft in New Avengers.
I don't know.
I don't know who he but definitely was not in the Dark Avengers.
I think we'd all agree he was trash in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was like really exemplified by that dubstep scene too.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. goes back to like a number of shows ago when we talked about that like that leaked email at mm-hmm, Sony mm-hmm. and what they thought was going to be a good idea and how they were going to rope the kids into watching it.
It's so cringy.
It is so cringy. And it's like, and the worst part about that is dubstep is such a snapshot in time. I mean, it's over. Like, dubstep is not what it was at that point in time. And it was already falling out of popular favor when the film hit. You know what I mean? Like, don't... It's one thing when, like, the classic movies from the 80s would have, like, the rock and roll routines in a lot of them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where they'd grab us, like, or it's one thing when they had a popular song from a popular artist at the time, but, like, they made this big thing about this dubstep scene, and people will cringe about that forever, you know? So.
Is it as bad as Vanilla Ice in the Turtles films?
What do you mean bad?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That doesn't compute with
me. I thought you would like... I loved it, but I also like Michael Bay, so I figured you would hate Vanilla Ice showing up at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Go Ninja, go. What is there to hate?
Nothing, but you hate all stuff I love all the time.
Ninja Rap is far superior to T-U-R-T-L-E Power. So I will take Turtles 2 music over the first one.
No, right, look, Teenage Mutant.
If you're
Ninja
not
Turtles,
down with the coming out of their shells tour, get off of my show.
Oh, hey, I just ran across my cassette tape the other day, and I was playing it for the kid.
Casey, to be fair, I don't think you were alive for the coming out of their shells tour.
That's probably true. This is
Wayne, we're going to look this up.
Because I went to it as a kid.
Yeah, like, me too.
Legit. I went to Coming Out of Their Shells. It was awesome.
Initial release 1990. What month? Come on. August. Yes. I was 2 months old. Yeah.
Yeah, you were the biggest fan.
Oh, huge. Huge.
You know,
costumes are so atrocious.
So here's the thing about those films, though. Those were films made for kids. I mean, they had a darker edge to them, and they probably shouldn't have been made for kids the way they were. But, like, those are kids' movies that were attached to a line of toys, that the toys came first, and the animated show came first. And
the comic book came first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the comic book before all of that. But the comic book was very different. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
They kill Shredder in the first issue.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like when we go, you look at an early 90s show like that. I mean, Go Ninja Go is like fine. Like that was a highlight of the era. But I don't expect those movies to ever hold up. I don't think anybody ever expected them to, even at the time.
Actually,
I
mean,
five of the main characters are people in giant plastic suits.
Right. But I have shown them to my kids at the appropriate age. Like, teenagers is too late, right? It won't hold up.
Yeah.
But 6, 7, 8, they love them. It holds up for that audience. It absolutely holds up. They love them.
Sure. And when they see that next to your buddy's version, how do they feel?
Well, there was enough space between watching them. I don't think they tied the two together at all. So, it's all good. There's room for all turtles in the giant size team up universe. I'm just saying.
Yeah. You mean Michael Bay's T-U-R-D-L-E-S?
Oh.
Well, on that note, we got to get out of here, people. But thanks
to Frank. Wait. Frank, thanks for sending in the letter. Everybody, make sure that you send in stuff to the show so that we can react to it. But on a editorial note, Frank, don't come in here with your Australian S's in the word summarize. That's a Z at the end of that word.
Also, favorite like has no U in it. Thank
yeah, there's
you.
No U in that. Yeah.
But there's U in our hearts. So we're going to keep you in love.
Hey, at least he did spider hyphen man. Yeah. I would have lost my mind if he forgot the hyphen. I'm like mental about that.
Well, if you would like.
He's not like Peter Spiderman who lives. you know, on 3rd Street. He's Spider-Man. There's a break.
Oh.
So thanks, Frank. You're my boy.
If you would like to write in like Frank did, BTP at GiantSizeTeamUp.com. That's B as in breaking, T as in the, P as in panel at GiantSizeTeamUp.com. And give a quick shout out. Frank is one of the 4 awesome hosts over at Toy Power, which is GiantSizeTeamUp.com/ToyPower. You can check that out. A lot of great episodes up there. And Frank's done an amazing job making their website look boss. So it's really, really cool. And we've got them linked up on GiantSizeTeamUp.com. So check them out there. All right. That's going to be it for this week. Casey, where can they find you throughout the week, sir?
You can find me here on this show when it gets edited and released in another format. Because we're also in places. I got to get that spiel down. But you can find me occasionally goofing around on Travis Jones' show on the Giant Size Team Up Network. Today I was goofing in his comments. Next time, who knows? I may be on the show if he can figure out OBS. But I also do a podcast most Thursday nights with the Bad Coyote Funky Crew. Name's still not great, but show is great. So you can check that out on twitch.tv/badcoyotefunky Thursday nights.
Awesome.
At 10, yes.
Klotz, where are you at?
You can find me as SoapboxGSTU on Twitter. And, yeah, you will find myself and Chris, as well as Phil and Dennis from Botched, very soon, and by very I mean when we get around to it, on Upside Down and Out, our Stranger Things show. We have recorded all of season 1, where we go, it is 5 episodes, we go through all of the first season's episodes, and then we do some predictions for season 2, which drops in just a few scant hours from now, as of this recording, and we will be recording a whole second season right away for this second season of Stranger Things, so come check us out.
This will be awesome.
You'll be able to find us on the Giant Size Team Up website.
Are you saying you can binge watch a podcast like one would the show?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, you've sold me.
I'm looking forward to it. Christoph Wiz, what you got?
You can usually find me keeping Dennis Robinson out of school zones and mall Santa booths. But you can definitely find me on Twitter at Christoph Wisdom.
On
Facebook somewhere.
Somewhere on Facebook. You can find me at charlesmcfall.com with all the different podcasts that I do and produce and touch and have fun with. And we'll be back next week to hear Chris say,
as Paul always said, thank God Peter David was around to co-create Seinfeld.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.